Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Well, hello there, Dave. I just finished being really, really bad to one of my faithful friends in the chat room, Beach. She doesn't get it yet, but she will. You see, if you are going to say something in the chat room like, you've just had waffles with hot links, and you know that there is a man sleeping in the other room, my mind just naturally wanders to respond with, oh, never mind. You know where I'm going with this. I'm just in a frisky mood today. You'll have to bear with me. And there's plenty reason why. The reason of Frisky is being here today on the show, Hybrid Jazz. First of all, we've got some astounding new music in a couple of different places. We have one of the most awesome vocalists that you will ever hear. With, for me, from all the people who have been singing My Funny Valentine through the years, one of the most definitive versions I've ever heard, because that's a tricky song anyway. So, Kristen Callahan just got decided on in the past couple of days. She's coming up in the last hour. My friend Trina, who I know from church, has this amazing group. You're going to hear a track from Trina coming up shortly, and her band. Elliot Levine, who is also based in the region, coming up with something from his brand new CD. And Kieli Minucci, next hour. His 3 decades with special effects needs to be celebrated, and we're going to do that in a big way. We always get things started, as you know, with a classic. Oh, my Lord, do I love Eric Dolphy. From 1964, Out to Lunch, the name of the CD, Something Sweet, Something Tender, on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. This is Hybrid Jazz. Just love that song. I have heard that song now 4 or 5 times, and the history of how I got the music is pretty wild and not so shocking anymore, because you find music that is so worthy and so precious in the most amazing places. Several months ago, T and I started to go to church, to Faith Christian Fellowship, which is on the other side of town. We have been trying to find a church that fits. Now, we knew that somebody that I know and just think the world of, Mark Meadows, superior pianist, vocalist, consummate student, perennial student, was the music director at this church. But in the meantime, I met a beautiful young woman named Trina. So Trina sang at church, and I went, oh, my God, listen to her voice. And then we got to know each other, and I got to meet her husband, Zach, and their beautiful little boy, and got to meet other folks in the church. And just in the past few weeks, hadn't been to Faith Christian Fellowship for a while, went there one day, here's Trina, and magically this little CD appears, and she said, hey, got a surprise for you. What I've been asking her to do, and she delivered this beautiful CD with her band, actually a collective band called the Sojourn Band. And on it is Zach, her husband, on guitar, David Obeng, Sarah Kennedy, Martin, Carla, and Renata, all members of Trina's family, and more, actually, because I went to the website, sojournband.com, Tim Long on bass, Steve McGrath on drums, Trina holding it down with flute and piano, and that superior vocal. Just beautiful music. And certainly we're delving into hybrid territory here, because Sojourn does not consider themselves to be jazz. Actually, if you go to the website, it says a slice of soul. Woo! Baltimore-based, and they're going to play at Artscape. So I just can't say enough about the original music here and the way that Trina has in the way of conveying it, because there's something special in a gal who knows her way around gospel music, then finds her way to other genres. It's always pivotal, to my ear at least, just speaking for me, that when somebody knows gospel music and has a heart for the truth of gospel, you are able to more than manage your way around campus, if you know what I mean. So SojournBand.com is where to find them, and that's Sojourne. Just a real nice work, Trina and company. Love you all. Oh, it's so nice. Mary Lou Williams, we heard, wanted to play a couple of classics into something brand new, In the Purple Grotto. That's the name of the song. You can find it in three different places. First, the Ladies of Jazz, Mary Lou Williams and Barbara Carroll, another pianist of renown. That was back in 1951. Then it's also on Atlantic Jazz Piano. Pianists who recorded for the Atlantic label for the first 35 years, and actually a tribute album to Joel Dorn and Nesui Ertegun, who were responsible for the production. Nesui Ertegun, Ahmet's brother. Oh, my, we've heard a lot about the Ertegun family in the past month or so. And Mary Lou, that particular track is also on another, The Sound of Jazz, various artists from way back. Just worth your while to investigate all of those sounds, because it's just magic music for sure. Got to play a female instrumentalist in the show from this day forward. We've been doing this for a while, but it's got to be done. And she is one of the best of the best. Eric Dolphy, just going through the bio again of Eric Dolphy, and I could just come out of my skin telling you about him. Something Sweet, Something Tender from 1964. Out to Lunch, his only recording for Blue Note. He died in 1964, completely erroneously. That's why I'm jumping out of my skin. Let us dwell on the life that he had rather than the way he died. Panamanian parents were all about their little boy, Eric. Came to the U.S., living in L.A. Dad knew that Eric had something special. Built him a little studio in the backyard. So little Eric had jam sessions. Eric, most proficient on alto sax, flute, bass, clarinet, piccolo, big influences. He became such a sophisticate as far as the world is concerned, couldn't get enough information, education, soaked it all in. As inspired by Bartok and Stravinsky, as he was by Fats Waller, Coleman Hawkins, free jazz, bebop, classical, he just mixed it all in there. He and John Coltrane working together were crazy. He and Charles Mingus working together, crazy. Was with Mingus in Germany when he took ill, and at the age of 36, he passed away. At the time, he was involved with this beautiful ballet dancer, Joyce Mordecai. Eric wanted to come from the United States and live maybe in Paris, where he thought that jazz was more appreciated. He had big plans. Don't we all? Savor each day as it comes, my friend. Woo! Chiele Minucci with us next hour. So excited. What a friend he was to the late, great Smooth Jazz station WSMJ when it was on the air and thriving for a few years. Kelly came to town and did some stuff for us, and Lori Lewis, the program director, loved him because of his generous spirit and because, truthfully, he's a beast on the guitar. You'll hear, because Genesis is the new CD, 30 Years with Special Effects, and we're going to hear three tracks from it. We have somebody else who is local, by the way, we're going to get to this particular individual momentarily, and I should tell you that as of the past couple of days, we have another guest that will be on board in the third and final hour of the show. I had not heard Kristen Callahan till recently. My mind was blown. That's all I'm going to say. So, let's get to Elliot Levine and Urban Grooves, based in the Washington, D.C. area. This is an original song. Elliot has a CD, brand new, 347 Live, as in Club 347. This is a tune near and dear to some of our hearts because Woodlawn is an area, a neighborhood in Baltimore, and we all love it. Elliot wrote a song called Woodlawn Drive on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you.
This is Hybrid Jazz. But there is nothing to be. 6.5 minutes or so, and frankly, it's not long enough. Man, could you just listen to Cuba Gooding all the live long day? Oh, my God. That is said his biggest hit with the main ingredient. Oh, my gosh, is that ever a main ingredient to have Cuba Gooding sing? Happiness is just around the bend. And actually, that's not really true. Happiness is right here. You just got to establish that that's happening. It could be around the bend, but it's got to start here. Just an amazing song, and found out something today about Cuba Gooding. I'll leave that for the end here. That from Euphrates River from 1974. Woo! And, of course, on the greatest hits. But you got to get the longer version of the song because you've heard the shortened song, not the same. By the way, Brian Auger wrote that song, and it would just be so cool. He's probably said this a number of times, but if you were to ask him what one of his greatest thrills was in his long career, because like Cuba, I guess they're both in their 70s now. Cuba, I'm sorry if I'm wrong about that. You might be in your late 60s. Brian's in his 70s. Betcha that Brian would say Cuba Gooding Sr. doing that song was one of the highlights of his life. How could it not be? One of the messengers of joy singing your song? Are you kidding me? Oh, my. You, of course, know that Cuba Gooding Jr. and Omar Gooding are Cuba's children. So a special little nod to you, sir, for Father's Day. A little bit early, that's okay. Just so you know, if you are keeping up on events like this, this is very nice. The Rhythm and Blues Music Society is going to be having their National Black Tie Gala and award ceremony, and Cuba Gooding is going to be part of that on September the 15th. We'll keep you posted on that. That's just so fabulous. Here's a little part of the story about Cuba, just found out. Apparently, he was separated from the family. There was a departure in the 70s. And after 17 years, Cuba and his wife got back together. Isn't that something? Love to hear that. Kevin Tony, who also has a story or two about that. Woo! From a few years ago, Heart of Gratitude, also known as A Grateful Heart, you heard Conversations with My Father. Just a beautiful piano solo, and Kevin Tony meant every word. You heard, or maybe you remember Kevin on the show, this has gone back now a while, he was talking very specifically about his dad and what he learned from his dad and what he tried to rectify about what his dad tried to teach him. Big story. Kevin Tony has a lot of them. And I wanted to tell you about Kevin a couple of different reasons. Of course, you know, performing with the Blackbirds when he was a student at Howard University. Went solo in 1982. In the meantime, with all of these years that have gone by, he has been a conductor and arranger for James Ingram, Patty Austin, Michael McDonald, Isaac Hayes, moreover, performed or recorded with some of the most household of names, including Frank Sinatra, Aretha Franklin, Ray Charles. Kevin Tony has had some kind of career, but what he is most proud of these days, two things, his book about being a virtuous man, number two, his daughter, Dominique, who is starting her musical career. How about that? Love that. She's got a Kickstarter campaign. She needs help to get her project off the ground. She is just one of the most sprightly of beings. She is everywhere. She's incandescent. She's beautiful, and she's joyful, and the video sells it all. If you can find that Kickstarter campaign, look on Kevin's page. I'll post it a little bit later on my Facebook page, just so you know. Elliot Levine and Urban Grooves, brand new, 347 Live, exclamation point. Woodlawn Drive, that's an original, but Elliot and crew also do Ain't Nobody, yes. Footsteps in the Dark, Isley Brothers song. Adorn by Miguel, Elliot on piano and everything keyboardish. He keeps up with it. And on the CD with him, B.T. Richardson, Bo Thomas, Ernest Abdul Rahim, one of my greatest treasures on earth, Earl Ivey, also Brian Blunt, Kashka Raynell. Am I missing anybody? I don't want to miss anybody. Spanky Williams on percussion on this. These are all local names, regional names, and we love them so much. And you'll hear some more from Elliot Levine, because he really is one of the best keyboardists, not only in the Mid-Atlantic region, but also in the world. All I'll let you know is this. If Heat Wave comes after Elliot time and time again to play keyboards with them while they're touring internationally, you know you're not dealing with mediocrity. Now, speaking of which, we've got about 15 more minutes to go before Chiele Mannucci gets here. Really excited about that. In the last hour of the show, vocalist Kristen Callahan. I think that we have time to feature one of the four songs that Kristen gave me from her new CD, which we're going to get to. I just wanted to give you a taste of what to expect. If you have seen a picture of this gal, it might flavor what you feel about the tune. If you have not seen her and then see her after she sings, you'll be blown away. Really. This is Kristen Callahan and Honeysuckle Rose on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Every honeybee fills with jealousy when they see you out with me. I don't blame them, goodness knows, my honeysuckle rose. When you're passing by, flowers droop and sigh, and I know the reason why. You're much sweeter, goodness knows, my honeysuckle rose. Don't buy sugar, you just have to touch my cup. You're my sugar, it's sweet when you stir it up. When I'm taking sips from your tasty lips, how the honey fairly drips. Your confection, goodness knows, my honeysuckle rose. Honeysuckle rose. sugar. You just have to touch my cup. You're my sugar. It's sweet when you stir it up. When I'm taking sips from your tasty lips, how the honey fairly drips. Your confection goodness knows my honeysuckle rose. You're my honey. You're my honey. You're my honey. Honeysuckle rose.
Ah, yes. This is Hybrid Jazz with Chiele Minucci.
Thank you.
Groovando, Groovalicious, Groovadelic. Oh my goodness, all of the above. Chiele Minucci, Special Effects, Till the End of Time from the brand new Genesis. Isn't that something? Man, I'm telling you what, just savoring the tracks that I received from Chiele and company, and just a little something about the organization of Chiele Minucci and the team to bring this to different folks who needed to have the ears to hear this new project. Anytime you spend 30 years with a particular band or a company, a marriage, you need to shout it from the rooftops, and Special Effects is right there. I mean, it's just so hard to believe that there has been all this time that has elapsed. So much journeying, so much success, so much camaraderie on the road and in recording sessions, and we're going to find out about all of it right now as we welcome. Let me just list the number of things this man is, okay? Guitarist, composer, arranger, producer, three-time daytime Emmy Award winner, Mr. Chiele Minucci. Hey, Chiele.
Hey, here I am. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. Good to be here.
Oh, it's good to have you. We just feasted our ears on Till the End of Time. Holy camoly, is that groove a phonic? That's all I keep thinking of is the different words I can use for groove. Groovalicious, groovamundo. It's just fabulous. And all of Genesis is, Chiele, you know this, you've probably heard this, ad infinitum. It's just beyond delightful. How do you feel to have had 30 years with Special Effects? You there? Uh-oh. What happened? he was there, and then he's not there. Oh, wow. And I see his microphone is on, so we'll just have to figure out what's going on. Chiele, you there? Okay. That was a hang-up, and maybe he's going to call back again. But Genesis, caller da-da-da-da, has dropped. Okay. Genesis is getting such wild reviews. Let me just tell you, it is crazy. Now, I don't know what the touring schedule is going to be. I know that there have been some things that have been done and will be done with Tizer. And there he is again. Let's see if this is better. Hey, Chiele, there you are. Let me turn on that microphone and make sure you're there. There you are.
I heard you fine. I don't know why I was gone, but...
Oh, my gosh. Well, your microphone was on, but for some reason it was muted. But now we're just dandy. So,
oh, good. That's good. That's good. Yeah. So
yes.
You were asking me about how it feels to have reached the 30-mile mark or something like that.
Yeah, because, look, I mean, in any endeavor with a marriage or a company or a band, that's pretty doggone special.
Oh, yeah. Well, let me just say it feels great. And, you know, we're going to hopefully follow it up with a pretty nice tour this year and do what we love to do, what we've always loved to do, which is, you know, play our music and travel and meet people and just, you know, spread it.
Well, you know, Chiele, I was reacquainting myself with your background, and it's just so fascinating. People just do not know. They and it's really odd because I posted a number of things about you on my Facebook page, and I had people who were musically very evolved turn into mush mouth when they're talking about you. Because you are
really?
One. Yes, you truly are in many circles, not just maybe contemporary jazz, but in different sorts of genres. You are considered a kingpin of guitar. Just so you know.
Well,
so
that makes me feel great to hear.
Oh, you truly are with an unbelievable reputation, and that needs to get said too, because a person's reputation means everything. What the question was, I love to hear about your dad. Could you tell us a little bit about your dad and how much the absolute being around him sort of infused your direction in life?
Sure, I'd love to talk about him. His name was Ulpio, and
yes.
He's from Sicily. He was from Sicily, and he came over to the States as a concert pianist. But he was in love with music like, you know, Cole Porter, George Gershwin. You know, he loved the great American songbook style, and he got himself into the music scene in New York. And had a couple of his songs recorded by Nat King Cole and Bing Crosby and Julius LaRosa and
wow.
some of the crooners of that time. And when my sister and I came along, he was in the record business. So my father was, as I grew up, he was what we call an A&R man. He was at the at Columbia Records. And as I came up into music, you know, my dad was, he was one of these guys, he wasn't just proud of the fact that I wrote music, but he was very analytical and critical of what I wrote. So I had basically grew up in a home with an A&R man, which was somebody who is looking at the music I was writing and playing and talking about it in great detail. You know, that was one of the things that an artist and repertoire man did
yeah.
at a record label. So, I've actually inherited a lot of his attitudes about that stuff, which is kind of funny for people I work with. You know, I'm not the kind of guy who just says, hey, it sounds great. You know, I'll say it sounds great, but we need to fix this part over here. You know, I'll really get into analyzing people's writing. But anyway, yeah, I mean, I had the greatest influence coming from my father. He encouraged me so much to write and to play, and he drove me to my gigs when I was a teenager, and was very supportive.
And here's what else he gave you. I don't know whether one learns this from osmosis, but you are so, I mean, I knew this years ago when we were playing you on WSMJ, and of course you know that Lori Lewis was one of your biggest fans.
Oh, yeah, down in Baltimore, right?
Yeah. She just loved you, and she made it a point to play your music regularly. And even then, I just picked up, and I didn't know about your background then as I do now, but you have this tendency to be so expansive, so visionary in your music, and I didn't know how to explain it then. I just knew that when you were involved in the music that I was hearing on the radio, you painted a landscape, and this open door became accessible, and you walked through that open door, and there were vistas that the eye could see. I did time traveling when I was playing you on the radio.
That's kind of nice.
And it
I
was
think you,
no,
meant, you meant, you said the word expansive, not expensive, correct?
Right, expansive, that's correct.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, and so it was no surprise when I learned, and this is something that maybe folks who know about you don't necessarily also know, but you were a part in framing music for Thomas and Friends on British TV. Thomas the Tank Engine, when my son was little and growing up, there were actual pictorial vistas, and you, Chiele Minucci, are the musical equivalent of those pictorial vistas. How about that?
That's very nice.
It's such a trip. I mean, you got involved with all different kinds of music. It's not that you are only involved with contemporary jazz, and we have to find out the origins of that, but you've delved into a lot of TV and film composition as well. That's just awesome.
Yeah, I've always liked a variety of music. I grew up on the Beatles. I mean, look at those guys. Every record was different. Every tune
right.
was different, you know. But I just happened to fall into a lot of different shoes coming up, and it's still like that for me now. I tend to do a lot of varied things, and you know, in the there's two things as I see it in art, is when you're an artist and just being creative and trying to communicate, and then there's commerce, which is a branch of art where you want to make a living doing art. And people have always said, if you focus your sound and people know what it is you are, you'll that's commercial to do that. And I understand that, but I've never been able to focus. I've always had my hands in a lot of different pots, so to speak. And, you know, I find it more interesting that way. It's like, I like traveling. I like variety. You know, I also like to have a home base, but when it comes to, like, for instance, when it comes to just playing the guitar, I was one of these guys in the 80s that, you know, I did all of those heroic guitar solos. Do you remember those in the 80s?
Yes.
I was always getting hired to do that, and I liked doing that. I liked that kind of sound. I loved the way that guys like Steve Lukather played, or Steve Hackett from Genesis, or, you know, even a guy, jazz guys like Alan Holdsworth. Over the years, though, my own style as a guitarist evolved into a lot of acoustic playing. You know, really, jazz is just part of what I'm doing, really, I'd say, as a player. I just like having a variety of sounds available to me when I perform. And you know, the hardest thing to do is to really analyze your own self. So I don't even try to do that. I just know I enjoy a lot of different kinds of music.
Yeah, it would be hard to analyze yourself. I mean, gosh, I guess that gets to be necessary some of the time. But meanwhile, you have to enjoy living. I was reading about Eric Dolphy again recently, and knew that he was a sponge. He wanted to learn as much as he could in the way of education or travel or different cultures and different kinds of music. And you're that same way. It just seems like you always have that ear open to different kinds of sounds and how you can continually be creative as opposed to stopping what was, 30 years ago?
Well, it's like this. When you study, when you study an instrument, you do know what your strong points are and what your weak points are. And I mean, for me to say something, I could generalize and say that when I sit down and listen to complex bebop jazz, I really, really, I understand it, I love it, and I can really appreciate a brilliant player. But when I get up to play bebop jazz, I have a limitation. You know, that's the final frontier for me. You know, it's like the same thing with classical music. Like, I remember there was a period where I did a lot of, you know, I was doing some stuff for Jennifer Lopez, some, you know, what we call the neo-flamenco guitar solos on those songs. And a lot of guitar players do that, and they do it quite well. But I was trained in classical guitar, but only for 1 year. So there were certain limitations that I knew that I had, and I would never try to fool somebody. I mean, if somebody says, can you do this, I'd say yes or no.
Right.
Most of the time I'd say yes and sweat through it. But, you know, you do what you can.
Well, you're, in other words, seriously, there are those artists who would say, when asked, yes, I can do anything. And then there are the other artists who say, I'm going to stay in my lane.
Yeah, you know, that happens. I mean, I like to play, and you know, if I'm feeling in the zone and the people are and the musicians are encouraging, I'll get up and play with anybody. Really, I love that.
Oh, and anybody would be thrilled because you're proficient in different kinds of genres. I mean, you mentioned Jennifer Lopez. You've worked with Celine Dion on one end of the spectrum, Lionel Richie, Jessica Simpson, for the love of God, these different kind of artists who have very specific needs for you to be able to handle what they do on stage. So I would imagine that you feel comfortable in mostly any setting.
In most settings I do, yeah. It has to, a lot of times it has to do with the people, you know. It really, music, a lot of it emanates from the personalities of those who write it and produce it. So, you want to, like, for instance, if like I did many years ago when I was on GRP Records in the early phase of the group, the label head Dave Grusin, who a lot of folks might remember him as the famous composer. He did Mountain Dance and a lot of his own records, famous songs.
Oh, yes.
But he also was did on Golden Pond, and he did Tootsie. You know, he did a lot of movies that people would recognize. And he brought me on to play a movie that you might remember called Ishtar.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. It was I was the guitar player on the soundtrack, and it was the first soundtrack at that level that I had done as a player. And you know, a lot of it was Middle Eastern music. It was difficult. It was difficult to play, and it was difficult to learn it at the speed in which he needed it to be learned. But, you know, you just rise to the occasion because he was such a great leader. He was such a great conductor that, you know, he gave you a chance to get it right. And you know, remember, we had like 75 or 80 people performing all at the same time in the studio on that session.
Wow.
So everybody kind of inspired each other to, like, do their best. And you know, there we did 6 hours a day for 3 days in a row.
Man.
Did the whole movie. Yeah, it was great.
And while we're on that subject, how is it that you got started? I mean, here you are, a three-time daytime Emmy Award winner, Guiding Light, Good Morning America, Access Hollywood, the Bloomberg radio theme. How did all of that take place? Did you want to delve into that kind of production, or did it just fall on your lap?
A little bit of both. I mean, you know that expression that when one door closes, another one opens?
Oh, sure.
Well, what happened with me was that I had made a few records with special effects with my partner George Jinda in the late 80s and early 90s, and one of the people at the label kept telling me, you know, Kayla, you should write music for movies and you should write music for television. And I would say, yeah, I should. Why don't you get me a job? You know, it's like, that wasn't, you know, how to get the job was the hardest part, it seemed, but I didn't really think about it much because, you know, I did what I did. I went on the road a lot. I was writing music that a lot of people felt would be good for TV, but I didn't know the people who had those contacts. But one day, a fellow came in from L.A. named Rick Rhodes, who was friends with my friend at the record label, and we all had lunch, and Rick asked if I wanted to try to be a ghostwriter for him. He needed somebody to do some composing for him. He didn't have enough time to do it. And you know, it's a common practice in the movie and TV world. And I said, I'd give it a shot. Why not? And I remember I wrote five TV cues for a show called Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. You might remember that.
Yes.
Yeah. And it was, you know, it was music not too different from, you know, Ramsey Lewis or the Rippingtons. It was kind of commercial, what I call commercial contemporary jazz. And apparently the producer of that show loved what I did. And that started a year of writing for the show. I mean, I ended up becoming one of the regular writers for the show. And the producer from the show became a good friend of mine. And the relationship with Rick Rhodes, who was the initial guy who brought me in, and this new producer, whose name was Emmanuel Callens, snowballed into many, many different things. It brought me to Guiding Light, brought me to Good Morning America, brought me to a lot of different shows where these guys were like fans of special effects. They loved the stuff I was doing with my group.
How about it?
But they tapped into the other side of my writing, which I was really, really grateful for, because I have never had a chance to write so much variety of style as I have as a result of these shows.
That's beautiful. Oh, and
everything I learned in college, all the string arranging, all the big band arranging, all of the compositional skills came into play when I was in my 30s, and that has been, and I still do it today. I still write as one of the major main writers for a music company called Gotham Music, which is distributed by Universal, and we have music on a lot of different shows. You know, I never really know what show it's going to be on, because I'm what I call myself a grunt worker. I'm the guy who actually does the writing and producing and stuff. I never know what they use it for. I just get the job and I do it.
Kelly, that's really something, and you really should be doing that. That's one of the gifts you have, and who could have possibly pinpointed that when you were little? Certainly you learned a lot from Dad, but honestly, it's funny, and I'm still having trouble articulating it, but it's when we hear different artists, sometimes we certainly don't think about this, but I always heard that in you. You were thinking so far beyond. You were living in the moment when you created the music, with or without any help, but there was also something that was so beyond that moment. Honestly, each of your songs is this story, and it takes on new dimension every time you hear it. Same thing with Genesis, and I want to ask you about the roots of special effects and how you got involved. But the tracks that I've heard, again, that same sort of otherworldly place that it takes you to when you're listening. Everything becomes a series of chapters, more so than most artists. Has anybody ever told you that? Does that sound weird?
It sounds really nice. No, it hasn't been quite said the way you just said it. I'm looking at pictures of you on Facebook, by the way, as you talk to me. I wanted to make sure who I'm talking to.
Oh, okay. Well, look, you know what? I haven't put my real picture up there for a while.
Oh, yes, you have.
Well, not for a little bit, but you know who I'm. Because you remember. You might not remember back when we met several years
ago.
No,
I do, but I just haven't seen you in a while, so I just, you know.
Right, I know.
No, I found a couple of group shots of you hanging out with people at, like, a dinner table. That was you.
Oh, thank you. You're a few years younger. I hit 60. So,
wow.
So it's always a trip when people see pictures and they don't necessarily know who they're talking to. I've had you all over my page for the past many days, so I know who I'm talking to.
Oh, yeah, I just saw that now, by the way. I don't really look at that. I have an administrator who does a lot of web stuff for me, but now that I have a new CD out, I've actually jumped in myself with both feet because I know that the first month or two of the record's release is significant. And, you know, I want to do a good job for my record label. I want them to support me for more records. So, I'll do what I got to do here.
It's
fun also. It's fun. I mean, you know, I like it's fun. The social networking stuff is kind of cool.
Oh, definitely. Oh, my gosh,
yeah.
Because it's an immediate gratification, like stopping in Burger King, you know. Well, listen, we're going to hear Blue Lagoon momentarily. And then I love that song. How is it that you got together with George? This is a long partnership. What happened to make special effects come to be?
Well, I'll tell it to you. I'll try to encapsulate it a little bit. George and I met in 1981 or 1982, and it was through a mutual friend who thought that we would do well together. I think that George had heard a couple of things that I had played and wanted to meet me. And then when we met, George was a drummer who had turned into a percussionist. He was from Budapest, actually, Budapest, Hungary. Mm-hmm.
Love that.
And he's more of a jazz guy, really. And I wasn't really into jazz at that time. I was 24. And George was, I think, 14 years my senior. So he was into not only into different music, he was actually very career goal oriented. And long story short is that we discovered that we had a kind of music in common that we liked, and that was world music. We both liked rhythmically based music that was very melodic. And we made a couple of demo tapes and cassette tapes, of course. That's what we used back then. And we landed a record contract with a small label out of Holland. And I hardly knew George. And before I knew it, we were in the studio. And we put this first record together, which was called Special Delivery, actually. That was the name of the band. But we changed it quickly to Special Effects because there was another group with that name that we were going to be in conflict with. And a year later, GRP Records in New York picked us up. and we signed with them. And that started a 13-year collaboration with George's partners. And we made, I think, 10 records together in that time, including a few solo records. And then, you know, a lot of people know this. You know, George got very ill, this is going back 16 years ago now. So he's been gone, actually, for almost 12 years.
Yeah.
But I continued at the very end, I continued on with the group, and I recorded a few of his songs when he fell ill. He had a very bad asthma problem, and it led to other problems, and that's another story.
Yeah.
But we were one of these groups that toured and toured and toured. I mean, we were always on the road, especially in the 80s, and that's how we kind of got ourselves going. Very old-fashioned.
Yeah, wow. Just, it's so, you know, as time goes on, you appreciate the longevity of greatness. And it's so wonderful that happens in a lifetime, because even to have a friendship that lasts for a long time is a very big deal. The people that you met in high school who are still your friends, that means everything.
I'm still friends with all of them. I have long relationships with people.
That's wonderful. Well, you know what?
Yeah.
I think part of that, honest to gosh, since I'm a Philly girl and I was raised in an environment where there was a lot of Italian people and a lot of multicultural scenarios, Italian people, when you have Italian blood, you form alliances. Your loyalties are sharper, I think. There is something about having that bloodline that is about home and togetherness and unity and working it out. That, I mean, South Philly was a big part of my upbringing. So South Philly was one Italian neighborhood after another. And if you're going to have a name like Chiele Minucci, by God, you're all of that. All right?
Yes, I grew up with real Italian parents from Italy, but I pretty much grew up in a non-Italian neighborhood. My story is a little bit twisted, but I know what you mean. Though I'm a good cook, though, so I have the Italian. I have Italian blood. I'm Sicilian, actually, through and through. So,
man, that's the best of all worlds, right there.
Yeah,
because. And you know how to cook? Do you know how to cook like old country cook?
I'm only good at what I know how to cook, which is, I don't follow the. I have a couple of great cookbooks that my mother gave me from her own home cooking, which her mother got from her mother, and you know it's passed down. But I've gotten to a point where I just kind of experiment and do my own cooking. But so when I make pasta, for instance, when I make sauce.
Yeah.
I try all kinds of things. I've tried I put cinnamon in the sauce. I've put teriyaki sauce on the meat. I've tried all kinds of tricks to see what the effect is on my guests.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Teriyaki, you could put that on chocolate ice cream for me and it would be okay.
Just a couple of drops. Well, speaking of chocolate, there's another surprise. Some people put a little bit of chocolate powder in spaghetti sauce.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, that's, if you want to get down to the nitty-gritty, that's actually mole sauce, and that's a Mexican dish. Dark chocolate in a sauce, and I don't know exactly what you put it on, but my mouth is watering, so I think we need to play a song.
If you want to, you know.
Oh, because I'm thinking of the dark chocolate sauce now. Blue Lagoon, how did that song come to pass? Because I put a one-word description here, and all I keep thinking about is dancing with somebody very significant.
Blue Lagoon, let me see if you hear, I don't know. It has this part in there that goes, let's see if you can hear this. This little melody. It started when I started writing the song. I wanted to write a solo acoustic guitar piece based on that, and I just started, you know, fooling around with it, and I was tapping my foot, and suddenly I heard an island. I heard a Caribbean kind of beat. I suddenly the song went in a whole new direction in one moment, and So what I did was I put in my, I have a studio in New York City. I just had a dumb bass drum going doof, 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 you know, just put this kind of disco bass drum going on. And then I thought, you know what, this would be a cool tune to do in a quasi reggae island style, you know? And it started to take on this, it's what I think I wrote a song, you know, I don't even remember the name of it. It's sort of like a sister song to something I wrote many, many years ago. Just really, I wanted to come up with something that was kind of clean and airy and moved, constantly moving like the breeze, you know. So I feel like if you analyze that song, the melodies and the written parts and the improvised parts, they're all kind of interweaving and they never kind of stop, you know.
Wow.
So, yeah, so it just felt like it was, like I sent it to somebody and I said, I think I'm going to call it Blue Lagoon. And she wrote back, I want to go to your Blue Lagoon. I thought, okay. I'm going to keep that title.
Yes, absolutely. It's a beautiful title, and it just is one of those songs. Who would ever guess that it would lead you to a place where there's happy and there's hope, all in the same area, and that's what it did for me. And
oh,
I think
nice.
That I think that probably I'm going to be speaking for many. Kieli Minucci is with us today on Hybrid Jazz, and this is from Genesis, Blue Lagoon. Enjoy.
Thank you.
And once again, not just a song, but a movie for your mind, ladies and gentlemen. Seriously, Blue Lagoon from Genesis, Chiele Mannucci celebrating 30 years with special FX, if you will. Just beautiful.
That's right.
Stuff. Again, I'm transported. Happened to see Cameron Diaz and Tom Cruise in Night and Day last night in the movie, and I am thinking about that little island scene that they had, and now whenever I hear Blue Lagoon from you, I'll be thinking of different kinds of just movie soundtracks. You have this heart and soul in you to flesh out scripts for people who are yearning for a story. You do that.
Thank you.
I really do love it. What is your expectation from Genesis, Chiele? What would you like to see transpire in the weeks to come?
Well, it's always been the same. The records are the CDs are kind of a promotional way of getting the music out there so that people can enjoy it and connect with me, you know. And then hopefully will lead to some live concerts, because that's a big part of what I like to do. I like to travel, I like to play in front of audiences, and I like to meet people. So to me, it's all part of the same thing. It's all leading towards that. And, you know, that's really it. It's that part is kind of simple. I've liked traveling since I'm a kid, and I found that music is just one way to really, like, connect with people. And, you know, a lot of the musicians, we're like brothers and sisters when we're together, so it's nice. It makes life interesting, and it helps people, too. But that's just something that, you know, that's a natural result of working hard and, you know, putting things together.
Well, it's good that you had mentioned, and this is everything, because the key to someone in this lifetime to preserve your sanity is to make sure you have that home base. So you've worked a number of years to make sure that home base is secure, and then the work allows you to do all this traveling and then come back to that safe haven. A lot of people don't have that at all, and I don't know how, you know, music takes on varying forms, and it's not that you have to be sane to create good music, but when you come from a place of peace, it can't help but translate to how your music is, and that's how I perceive of your music, as serene to a large extent. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of the songs, most musicians, the way they play and the way that their songs are written is a facet of their personality, or a result of their lifestyle. You know, their actions come out like that. I mean, for instance, you know how a lot of guys don't cry that easily? You know,
oh, yeah.
The old cliche, yeah, except when they're in a dark movie theater. But you know, I'm not much different in that regard. It takes, and I don't like to be observed when that's happening, when I'm feeling that emotion. But I can put that emotion into music and express that quite well. You know, for a long time, I realized that I'm pretty good at writing emotional, sad emotional, or music that might represent loss or grieving or regret, you know, things like this. And when I was writing music for Guiding Light, the soap opera, in the beginning of the composing phase of that job, I wrote a lot of music cues that were what we call underscores. They're not melodic music, but just moods and emotional stuff, using instruments to capture emotion. And later on, though, they started asking me to write pop songs, like with vocals and everything. And that's a much more obvious way of conveying an emotion. But the underscoring aspect of composing is a very interesting way to learn how to emote through the technique of writing. And, you know, artists have been doing it, you know, painters. It can be done with dance, you know, all of the different expressions of art and writing and so on are able to do that.
And if you are able to do that in an instrumental way, because honestly, and this gets into some territory where folks would disagree. But when you when one uses a voice, it's almost easy. It's just, to me, it's akin to the attitude through the years that women involved in jazz, the perception is that women are just involved in jazz in the vocal department, whereas the harder stuff to do is relegated for the men. When you are able to convey in an instrumental way an emotion that across the board makes someone feel, and it doesn't matter if it's South Africa or Paris or Baden-Baden, Germany, if somebody is feeling something that you have captured in the way of instruments, that's profound. That's monumental. Don't you feel that?
No, I mean I hope to do that. I want to do that. You see, this is the weird thing about it, is that when you write a piece of music that connects with me, then I feel it. You know, but when I write it, when I'm done writing, I feel it when I'm trying to write it. Let me put it that way. You know, it's like the creative process, turning the creative process, the thought into the actual action.
Right.
Is that's like work. But I mean, I could be walking down the street and I'll start thinking about a song that somebody else wrote, and I'll get the chills just thinking about the tune.
Yeah.
You know, because it's making me think of some period of my life or some emotion, you know. Once in a while when I hear a tune of my own, once in a while I get that I get the original feeling, like I'll get a little buzz, like from when I remember how I felt when I wrote the tune, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, because,
yeah.
I mean, it's personal, and that's what makes people feel. You have always been so authentic in the way you convey something that you must have, if I'm feeling it, you must have had some real personal either trauma or an experience that would make you feel conflict or sadness. It's got to be like creaming you over the head once in a while when you go back in time and listen to that.
Sure. Yeah, it is a little bit like that. Yeah. Like for everybody, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, you're the one who writes the songs, though, so even more so for you. You just really have a gift, and I'm so glad that your dad was involved in A&R, because the key to what makes you so special is that you really want to convey the right expression. And you use the terminology in this little interview here. You use the word clean. That's what your music has always been for me, Chielli, and there's a lot of people who feel that way because I've talked to folks in regard to you being here today. This refreshing vibe, this sweeping away of the old and bringing in something real fresh. It's I love it. I'm so glad that you do what you do, truly.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. Thank you, Trish.
Oh, you're welcome.
Oh, good.
You're welcome. And I know that I won't want to keep you too much longer, and I know that we're going to – I kept this tune for the last because it's powerful. So It Begins.
That's so nice that you want to play that one. That was the song that was going to be the single from the CD, but I ended up – oh, that's a whole other story about commerce and music that I'm not going to go into, but so it begins. I'm just going to say it. It is. I was trying to capture the sentiment of when a man meets a woman and he falls in love, and he imagines that she's in love also, but now he's not with her. He's just thinking about her, and he's just thinking his secret thoughts about how this beginning of this thing has just happened. And he's just pondering it, you know, you're just, maybe you're driving in your car or you're walking down the road and you're all alone in solitude with your own thoughts about how delicious a feeling it is to have, to connect with somebody and the newness of it, you know, new love. And that's what this song is really about.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm trying to get it to, it's a very simple composition, three or four chords. you're going to, you know, you listen to it. There's nothing to it. It's all the arrangement. The whole song is about the arrangement, is about the way it's dressed up. And, you know, if you listen to the song, the way it evolves, it's extremely slow the way it evolves. So that's what I'm hoping that people will feel something from it the way I do. That's one of the tunes that I get a feeling from. So I'm glad you're playing it.
Well, look, here's what I took from that song. Now that you have said what you've said, it's a new world, and I'm glad that you told that little story, but it's also very haunting. This stays with me because when there's a haunting feeling involved, there is both good and bad. There's hope, but there's also a wistfulness, a hunger for something. And
well, that's the thing, is that the song is done. I'm done writing it, and it belongs to you now. It's mine also, but it I've given it to the world. And you know, if somebody gets a different interpretation of it, that's what it's supposed to be about. You know, music is temporarily. You know, I think I wrote about it in my first solo album. It's an energy that comes through, and it comes through, and it goes through, and it's out. And when it comes out, it's no longer in me. It's somebody else's, and it's about giving it away. So, you know, if you get a feeling about this song that is different than mine, that's very cool. We interpret paintings differently, also. You know.
And see, that's how you know that you have a gift. Because it's never yours. Once upon a time it was, but then you give it away and it's gone. So, woo, that's a powerful thing, Kelly. That's wonderful.
Nice.
Yeah, God bless you. And I wish every good thing for you. And the buzz about Genesis is so strong. You must know that. Must.
Yeah, I'm pretty pleased, I have to say. Shanicky's a great label, and Bill Kaysan is an incredible marketing guy and radio promoter, and he's got a great ear. The whole team there is amazing. I've loved those. I've been with them for a dozen years or something. They're great. So, but I'm just really happy that right now that, you know, there's a great inspiration going on, a great energy happening as a result of this record coming out. And it's just kind of getting going. It's just beginning. So thank you so much for having me on the show, Trish.
Oh, thank you. It's always a pleasure. Look, anytime you want to come back and hang, you know where to come.
You're in L.A., right?
No, I'm in Baltimore, Maryland.
Oh, you're in Baltimore. I thought I called a 323 number.
No, actually, well, you know what? You probably did, but that's Blog Talk Radio, so, yeah.
Oh, I see. Yeah, no, that makes sense. Right. Okay,
Yeah,
when I do come down that way, I will be in touch for sure.
Oh, that would be wonderful. And I'll see you on the road because you usually, I know that you have come to Blues Alley and you hang out with actually some of my friends. So I'll make sure I keep in touch with you. Where's the definitive source so that folks can keep abreast of what you're doing?
The best way is either on my website, which is called Kieli Music. It's my first name, music, kielimusic.com, and we have, you know, the concert updates, and or Facebook. I have a Facebook page that is all the stuff is listed there as well.
Good. There's two sources. I love that.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah. The website's normally the best one, but good. Well, I hope to see you when I'm down that way again, and anybody else who's listening in today, you know, hope to meet you at some point too, and hope you'll check out the new CD.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you again very soon.
Great. Very good. You have a great rest of the day, and thanks again. Nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you too, Kieli. Thank you.
Take care, Trish.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Kieli Minucci, let's do it. Let's go to Genesis. Woof. This song is something else. Till the End of Time on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Actually, we played this. We'll play it again. Thank you. Okay, y'all, I want you to understand something. Here is the power of Kristen Callahan. Now, this has never happened in the show before this hour. Things got a little crazy in the beginning with Kelly Minucci, but things wound up fine for the major part of the hour. So I play a Kristen Callahan song, and apparently the gremlins in the universe were so overcome by her voice that they went crazy to the point where a song disappeared, my microphone disappeared, I saw Kristen's phone number pop up on my screen, but there was such silence, and then a song automatically played. That has not happened in the entire time we've been on Blog Talk Radio since August of 2011. So, Kristen Callahan, I just attribute that to the power and charisma of your voice. How's that for an introduction?
That's great. You can hear me okay?
I can hear you just fine now, but it was like pandemonium here 3 minutes ago.
That's funny. Yeah, I heard a little bit of that old feeling, and then it cut off and went to My Funny Valentine.
And that's funny because I manually, since I have the home studio screen here, I manually went to that old feeling, and there was silence from this end, and I thought, oh. And then the microphone disappeared, and I went, okay, so let's see what choices we have now. But you're here. It all worked out. Hallelujah. Yay.
That's funny.
Kristen, honest to God, I am late to the party in hearing you. When I heard that take of My Funny Valentine, I thought I was going to drop because everybody and his Mama Luigi has done that song through the years. And that's a funny song. It's not like a traditional love song because if you listen to the lyric, ooh, that's kind of weird. But it takes a certain kind of voice to interpret that the right way. And, girl, I'm sold.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, you know, I have to say that's one of my favorite songs on the whole album. I didn't know that it was going to be.
Really?
You know, I've always loved the song, but honestly, I mean, I chose it because it's a familiar song. And I thought, you know, it's a great song. Everybody knows it. And it's always good to have things that are familiar, you know, for people. But yeah, now it's like one of my top three favorites on the whole album.
Well, you know, when you consider this, and a friend of mine who also has some roots in Maryland, Miche Fambro, he pointed out the almost hilarity of the lyrical content of My Funny Valentine because, you know, people don't even hear. They just think, oh, it's a beautiful song. But if they were ever to listen to the words, it's a very different feel. When you allow yourself to be vulnerable as you did with that song, it takes on a whole different context. Did you feel, I mean, was it one of those songs for you that you needed to sing or what?
Yeah, you know, I think for that song, you know, I've heard people do the song, you know, sometimes as a bossa, sometimes, you know, more like mid-tempo, but it doesn't fit the words and the feeling.
Right. Right.
So, I mean, it's like it's a deep emotional song. And I actually heard, I don't know where I heard it recently, about the guy who wrote it, that he was actually quite the sad soul and, you know, an alcoholic. And I don't know all the details of this guy's life. But, you know, so it kind of makes sense, though, you know, with the way the feeling of the song that maybe someone a bit sort of sad and struggling wrote it, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes the most beautiful things come out of struggle, really.
Absolute pain and torture. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely, because you know the painting of the person who is singing about the subject. Man, this person is not really pretty. it not really attractive, but so special to the person who wrote the song that it takes on a whole personal meaning. And the only person that I have heard besides you in recent years that have done that song justice is Melinda Doolittle, who should have won American Idol about 4 years ago.
Oh, okay. I remember her. Yeah.
Do you? Yeah.
Yeah,
And it's really weird because you know, you might not be able to relate to this because you're so freaking gorgeous, but she did not win, I think, because she was like the person in the song, My Funny Valentine. She was not necessarily a pretty girl, but that the spirit of her just came out, and that song came to life for a whole lot of people. Anyway, I'm so glad you're singing. How did you get started?
Well, my story is a lot different than a lot of other jazz musicians. You know, a lot of them are like, oh, I've been playing since I was like 3 to 10 years old. And, you know, my parents play jazz all the time. And, you know, that's what I hear typically in interviews. For me growing up, I wasn't exposed to jazz a whole lot, just when I would hear it sometimes on the radio, which I did like it. I always liked old movies, old music. But I'd say about 5 years ago, I saw a concert on DVD. It was actually a Chris Botti. Do you know who that is?
Oh, of course, of course. Oh, my God. Yes, I know what video you're going to talk about, too.
Yeah, I think it was a thing he did in 2006. He had a lot of vocalists on it. Yeah. So, I watched this, and I thought it was so beautiful, and I saw Paula Cole and Jill Scott and all these other vocalists singing with this beautiful music. And I said to myself, literally, like, after watching it, I'm going to do that. So I started recording my first album, like, a few months later, not really knowing what I was getting myself into, not knowing that jazz, there's a whole lot more to jazz, you know, than I really realized. And here I am 5 years later, and I can say, you know what, I'm a musician, not just a singer, because I took the time to study it and listen to it, and,
right,
you know, and it means a lot to me now. Which reflects in my new album, you know, because it's a completely, it's a different kind of album than my first one.
And that's really saying something because, yes, you must give yourself credit for being able to study the musicology, as it were, the history of something that you want to pursue. And honestly, if you saw that compilation of different kinds of voices from Chris Botti and company, that included Gladys Knight singing Lover Man. And wasn't that a lesson for anybody to see?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So it's to your credit that you wanted to do things the proper way. But the cool thing about you, though, Kristen, is that, and I said this earlier in the show, and it's not the first time I've said it, but when you started out, you have Western Maryland roots, correct?
Yes.
So you started out young, and you were singing gospel music, and then you got involved in talent shows. So you may not have known about jazz, but you had the basis for credibility, and you really do need to sing these standards, because I'm not sure how old of a person you are. I know you're young, but you have an incredibly old soul.
I'm 32. Some people think I'm younger, but I'm 32. I don't mind saying.
No, of course you don't. I mean, who would mind saying that they're 32?
Some people mind. I don't mind.
No, you do look younger in some ways, but you have this throwback voice, and I'm going to think of who it is that you remind me of. Yes, here's who you remind me of. If you dig through back in the 50s and 60s, you will see some vintage footage of the Newport Jazz Festival. There is a woman who played at the festival. She wore gloves frequently. She wore a hat. She was dressed up. Her name was Marianne McCall.
McCall. Okay.
Yes, Marianne McCall. And there's another person too, and I might be getting a couple of them confused, but it's that 40s and 50s sound. There's not a whole lot of people who sound like you. Other folks have told you that, haven't they?
Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of the reason, you know, that people hear that is because I try to stay true to the melodies and the way I phrase the songs and the meaning of the lyrics, and I want to respect that and not deviate too much just to say, hey, I'm being creative and, you know, I'm just going to do something crazy with this so I can be different, because sometimes that isn't a good thing. Sometimes
That's wise. That's wise. Yes, I hear that. And that's pretty remarkable. So you've fallen in love so much with the music that you want to stay true to it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, and it wasn't everything that I've learned wasn't just right away. There were some songs that I heard, and I was like, oh, I don't know if I like that. Because, you know, for people that don't grow up hearing jazz, some of it can sound sort of foreign to your ear. And it really just starts, the more you listen to it, and if you're open-minded, the more it grows on you. And I'm just really in love with all of it. And it wasn't just something that just hit me, definitely the ballads, because I love ballads. But, you know, some of the other songs, though, it took some time, and now I just really appreciate them. You know, the lyrics, the music, the changes. I mean, it's all, yeah, I mean, it's just, it's amazing. It's amazing music. And I didn't know that until I just sat down and, like, you know, and now I can play piano now, and I couldn't play piano when I started. And, you know, it's
really?
Just, yeah, it's amazing. It's been an amazing experience for me, the whole thing.
Oh, my gosh, that's really something. So do you find yourself now, are you gravitating to people around you who are on that same page? Do you find that you're not frequenting the same places that you used to go because you're hungry for it? What is your life like now? I mean, I know that you're going to play this Thursday, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the show today. But
yeah.
Do you are you in jazz circles now, and do you love that? What's the story?
Well, you know, I feel like over time, I think there's only a few people. I know there's a lot out there that I haven't met yet, so I'm sure I'll have a longer list. But there's a few people that I have found just really impacting. For one, Vince Evans, he's on my album, The Pianist. He's been
sure.
My teacher and just helped me in so many ways. I mean, a lot of credit definitely I can give to him for being able to play piano, understanding music. I mean, I have such a long way to go, but, you know, I met him the first session of my first album, and that was one of the greatest things that could have happened because, you know, he became my teacher, and I've grown immensely. Like, if you listen to the first album and then listen to the second album, you can really hear the growth. And, you know, I'm proud of that, you know, because I've really worked hard and really just learned to listen. I think that's something that a lot of singers forget to do, just really, really listen to the music, and then you can just really be detailed with it and make it really beautiful and special. And another person that it's on my album too is Warren Wolf. I think he's phenomenal. I think he's like the best musician around this area, period. I mean, he's in jazz. I mean, he's incredible.
Oh, my gosh. Well, multi-instrumentalist to be sure. I mean, it's pretty rare to be a consummate drummer and a vibraphonist. Woo! Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so I just feel like the short period of time that, you know, I've been singing jazz and, you know, it's probably been almost 5 years, I've met so many just great, nice musicians, and I've got to work with some just phenomenal people that I just feel really lucky and blessed to have met them and to have worked with them. It's just so exciting for me.
Well, you know, I have to say that there are a number of people who feel that way about you because I have made it a point to go to your Facebook page and see those people who respond to you. There are seasoned musicians in this region who really appreciate what you do to a song. And I think it's equal in parts to what you just said, Kristen, which is that you have to listen to the instrumentation. But here's something that is, if not equally so, maybe more important than that. You have to completely suspend the ego from what the content is of your song. You have to put yourself in the position of, what does the song mean? How can I do justice to what the interpretation is of this song? If it means something to me, that's cool. How can I draw somebody in and feel the magnitude of the words of this? And you do that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're right. I mean, you're completely right. That's so important, especially with this music. I mean, it's the writers knew what they were doing. And I think
And how does one get to a point where, I mean, the name of the project is One Magic Day. How do you get to the point where you decide on what songs stay and what goes? Did you have to really tussle with that? Oh, I really want to do that, but I can't have 25 songs on the CD.
You know, for me, picking songs for an album is pretty tough. I don't usually have a long list. It's actually hard for me to find a long enough list. Because I want to sing songs that I really like, really feel like I can do justice, and just kind of, you know, just have a general vibe that fit together well. So, you know, it actually wasn't that hard. I guess, you know, after my first album, it was a couple, maybe it was like 2.5 years later, I started thinking about the second one, and it kind of came pretty easy. I think over that 2.5 years, I learned a lot more songs, and I knew which ones I really liked, and I wrote down a list probably in one day, and I was like, this looks good, and and then I called the guys, see if they could make it. You know, Eric Wheeler's on it, Warren Wolf, Vince Evans, J.C. Jefferson, David Cole on guitar, and a guy named Emmanuel Cecilio, and he's actually from Argentina. I don't know how long he's going to be in the U.S., but I got him playing bandoneon on my song Nature Boy on the album.
Oh my God, I know. And, you know, you got to be so careful about tackling a song like that, and you've got to have supreme confidence to do a song like that. And again, your take on it was, wow.
That's probably my favorite song, just because it's so different, and the instrument, you know, the bandoneon is. Hopefully, I'm saying that properly. I'm not sure, but
it sounded good when you said it.
Yeah, it's such a unique instrument and sound, and I wanted something different for that song because it's sort of this. It's such a wispy, romantic, sort of bohemian. I don't know. It just always gave me that feeling of wildness, and I don't know, it was, you know, but I'm really happy with it.
Oh, yeah, and romance not in the, you know, the liaison between two lovers romance, but romance in the bohemian sense of the word. You know, something is out there, and it's free, and there's a whole history behind that song. It's just amazing, and it serves anybody who decides to do that song well to figure out why would a song like this be written. It's just a yearning kind of song, and it's supposed to be haunting, and you do a really haunting job with it. It's just beautiful.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Oh, my gosh. It's such a short period of time for you to have been on Earth, let alone decide to get involved in this old music, because weren't you for a while, you were in D.C. and you had an electronic music duo going for a while in D.C.? I love that.
Yeah, my history is, like I said, it's so different from most jazz musicians. I worked with a jazz duo called Aligning Minds for probably 5 to 7 years, and I'm on a lot of their electronic tracks, which, you know, that type of music can be very beautiful, but a lot of people don't, their ears, it's sort of like people who at first when they hear jazz, they're like, especially, I mean, like, straight jazz, not, you know, like, Chris Botti, he kind of, like, chills it out where most people can, you know, be like, oh, that's nice, but, you know, sometimes people be like, whoa, that's too much going on for my ear. And
gotcha.
That's kind of what electronic music can be like, is, you know, when you first hear it, it's like, whoa, that's a lot going on, you know, it's not simplistic enough for my ear to handle, but it really grows on you. It's the same kind of thing as jazz. It's like, the more you listen to it, the more it grows on you. But, I don't do electronic music as much anymore, but yeah, I kind of, that's like the extreme modern kind of music, and then now I'm doing like the extreme old kind of music, so
Well, you know what, though? You made a point. I mean, and I love the name of the duo, too, Aligning Minds. But there is a lot going on, but it's like elements of free jazz, you know? It's kind of all over the page, but if you're listening with a sensitive ear as opposed to, you have to be a kind of serene person to stop and listen, as opposed to, oh, I'm so chaotic anyway, I can't possibly allow any more chaos in my mind.
Exactly. Yeah, it can come across that way sometimes. It depends on your mood.
Yeah, it's just an acquired appreciation is what I like to classify it as.
And just being open-minded. Yeah,
because there's ambient music, too, and some folks don't understand that. Some folks don't understand classical. Some people really can explain to you what traditional jazz is, but they don't have a clue about contemporary jazz, and you have snobs on both sides of that fence, as you well know.
Yeah.
Oh, are you coming to find that out? So here's the situation on Thursday. This is going to be a CD release party, is it?
No, not actually. It's I'll be there in August again, on August 2nd. And that is actually going to be the CD release party. I'll have Vince Evans and Eric Wheeler and J.C. Jefferson and Warren with me for that show.
Oh, good, good. Awesome. So this is and how frequently do you play this venue? Because it's just the whole concept of Andy, and you pronounce it for me because I always get it wrong, Andy Music?
Yeah, I think that's right, yeah.
Okay, so now it's becoming more aware for me to get to that website and find out who's playing. This is not the first time you've played that venue, correct?
No, it is the first time.
It is?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, wow. This is going to be big then. This is big.
Yeah, I'm hoping a lot of people come. I'm really excited. You know, and I like the venue a lot. I've been there a few times. I like that it's intimate. I like that it's a listening room, you know, because sometimes you do gigs where people are eating and chilling out. It doesn't matter how good you are. It's like you're in the background and you get their attention if you sing like It Had to Be You or something like that because they know it. But pretty much, you know, it's so nice. It's just so nice to sing in a room where people are there to hear it and they care.
Oh, yeah. You have to deliberately want to go to Andy to listen to people because it is so old-fashioned for folks who are coming into Baltimore and folks who already know. You have to go up a flight of steps in order to get to the room. Mm-hmm. If there is a crowd, Todd Marcus was there a few months ago, and there was actually a wraparound crowd on the first floor that had to wait your turn to get up the steps. There is a tiny little place where you can get wine or a beverage, and then it's not a door to get into the room. It's a curtain. It's very European, don't you think, Kristen?
Yeah. I think it's great. Yeah.
Yeah. It is. It's the acoustics are wonderful. There's not really a bad seat. It's kind of cushy, and you just feel like enveloped because you can see all the musicians clearly. And you're going to have our friend Todd Simon with you.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we played a lot together over the, like, I think we met a little over a year ago.
Really?
And, you know, he's good. He's really, really good. And, you know, I call him, you know, when I have something because, you know, obviously everyone knows he's really good.
Oh, yeah. He's been doing his thing for a while, and his new album is really a treat as well. Who else are you going to have with you Thursday?
John Pineda.
Oh, yeah.
You know him? Okay, Unified Jazz Ensemble.
Yes. Awesome.
Yeah, so he's great, and he has a lot of enthusiasm when he plays, and I really like that. You know, yeah. can see it, you know, that he's real into it. I think that's cool. So.
And you know who else I have seen that has been a champion for you? I've known this gentleman for a while. Haven't seen him for a long time. Haven't seen him since he got married. But Mark Evans is such a champion for you. You are aware of
yeah.
that, right?
Yeah, Mark's great. And, you know, I love, he does a jam session. It's not jazz, but, I mean, they'll play some jazz through if you want to sing it, but. I love the jam session that he has on Thursday nights. It's just being, you feel so at home, and that's why I love it so much. And everyone's just expressing themselves, and it's really open. It's great.
Yeah, if Mark was ruling the world, it would be a very cruel place because there would be jam sessions everywhere.
Yeah, he's a really talented guy.
Oh, my God, is he ever. I mean, not only a wonderful vocalist and quite the entertainer, but also he's got this fabulous job at Aveda. So, that's my top line for any cosmetics or getting my hair done. So Mark's a good person to know if you're a female.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
cool. He's been championing you for a long time, as have other people that I've known for a while, but I'm just getting to know you. What was it that drew you into singing when you were little? Because you started out pretty young.
You know, I think I just came out singing. I was just singing. I don't know. I have no memory of not singing. I would sing. I annoyed everybody. I was singing so much. I was singing my ABCs, but in a really annoying kind of constant way, you know. And I would, in class, I remember I was like in third grade, and I hummed all the time. I would always hum. And I remember the teachers, would tell me, you have to quit humming, the other kids can't concentrate. And I remember kids raising their hands and telling on me because I was humming again. And I didn't even know I was. It's just, I've just always been musical and just singing and humming and just part of my essence, I guess.
So you say that you're were your parents musical or no?
My mom sings. She was never really serious about it, but she can hold a tune pretty good. And I would say, and my sister is musical too. She plays piano, but she's more on the electronic music end than jazz.
Well, you seem to have an artistic bent because, folks need to know that you're not only someone who, the word that comes to mind actually is chanteuse. I love that word because it conveys an older style of singing that people pay attention to, but you're also a photographer.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I've been a photographer professionally for like 10 years, maybe a little longer. But, I started out primarily photographing infants and maternity photos, which actually is quite beautiful if you do it
oh,
right.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, and then now I do a lot of weddings. I photograph a lot of weddings, and I do pretty much everything. And, I definitely enjoy doing artistic things. More than non-artistic things,
There are very different people, honestly. I mean, there are those of us who are artistic, and we get very frightened by the whole idea of mathematics and the technical side of things. But the artsy things, we just gravitate to them because there's meaning and healing in thoughts and dreams. Let the other people take care of the stuff that's necessary. But the artistic
yeah.
people have a place. Is there a website that one can go to see your work? Let's see if we can drum up some work for you as far as picture taking is
concerned.
Oh, for
my photography? I actually just took it down, so I don't have a website up right now for my photography. So
you took it down.
Yeah, well, I'm leaning more toward doing weddings, and it's something that I do part-time right now, and I work for an agency, so I don't really need necessarily to have a psycho.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Well, life is going well for you, girl. Then I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, it's not really my priority. Like, I mean, honestly, right now, singing, I really just want to sing full time, and I hope that happens. I'm just trying to get out there as much as I can and get exposure and stuff, but that can be tough, even if you're good. It's tough.
Well, now here's the $24,000 question here. I have been trying to keep up with you, and there's a little bit of mystery involved in you, Kristen Callahan. So I had to do a little bit of work to find out different kinds of things about your background. Now, you're either moving to or in the process, you're in the process of moving to a different place. If the situation were to happen where one magic day would take off so much that now you have international dates, is that the desired effect for this CD? Is that what you want to have happen?
Yeah, that would be ideal. I would pretty much give up everything I'm doing to do that.
Really?
Including getting married, having kids, everything. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, for me, this would be incredible. And, you know, I really love the music, and I love all music. It's not just, you know, jazz right now is a big concentration for me. But, you know, I love to sing a lot of things, and it's just such a huge part of me and my life. And, you know, I know that I'd be the happiest doing that. So, yeah, I would give up everything to do it that I have going on.
And you do strike me as the kind of person that's going to at some point gravitate to the Great American Songbook. I can see you in New York doing Broadway tunes as well, working closely with people who want a certain kind of interpretation, because I honestly, you're at the threshold of something here. You don't even know what life is going to be like for you in the next 5 years, but I really do expect amazing things from you. And if you keep your mind open like that, you're going to get those invitations. You feel that you are?
Yeah. I feel like as long as I stay out there and keep working at it, I mean, because it's a full process. Sometimes it feels like when you're in it, you know, and I'm trying to learn to play something on the piano. And I mean, I'm at the beginner level, I still feel like with piano, but you know, everything when you're doing it, when someone's teaching me something about music theory, I feel like, oh my God, this is so overwhelming. Or like, this process is so slow. But then when I look back at, you know, 3 years ago and where I am now, it's awesome. It's worth it. You know, it's worth putting all that time in. And I think that's what I have to always remember, is keep putting the time in and keep, you know, being so detail-oriented, you know, about how much care I'm putting into these songs. And, you know, I just think it'll all pay off. Even though when you're doing it sometimes, it feels like, you know, you're never going to get where you want to go or sing something the way you want to sing it or play it the way you want to play it.
Well, Kristen, honestly, it speaks volumes about you that you want to have the discipline to learn. You're a passionate student, and people forget that in life. If you don't have the passion to be a student, and you think that your way is always the right way, as opposed to hearing what other people's journeys have been so that they can instruct you on a way to go or a way to look at things differently than how you feel about them, that means everything. So now you have the benefit of looking back and saying, oh, my God, I'm so glad I paid attention.
Exactly,
That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Beautiful thing.
And I feel like, now I feel like I'm starting a little bit older with some things than some people, but I feel like I'm ready. Like, I was ready to start. When I was, you know, with my background and the way I grew up and everything, I feel like my maturity level just wasn't there enough to have the dedication and put the time in and just really put the effort that it deserved. And, you know, when I started, I was ready. I'm getting older, and I feel more ready as every year passes. So, you know, I'm really excited about the future and what maybe I'll do. We'll see.
Oh, yeah. My God, I really do think that this guy is the limit for you. And I want to play this because I didn't – you heard it, and I'm not sure how many other people heard it, but I really did play in the first hour of the show, Honeysuckle Rose, and I did play in the Wee Small Hours of the Morning, which I love. I love that song, by the way. Woo!
Hey.
That song is –
Well, yeah, Warren, too. God, I mean, he played so beautifully.
Yes, and there was just something magic in those vibes juxtaposed next to your voice. It was really special. But some folks did not hear that old feeling. So before you go, we're going to play this 3.5-minute song. Is that okay by you?
Oh, yeah, sure. Absolutely.
Okay, cool. Kristen Callahan is my guest this hour. She has a brand new CD, and we're going to find out where you can get a hold of it one magic day. This is That Old Feeling on Hybrid Jazz.
I felt a thrill, and when you caught my eye, my heart stood still. Once again, I seemed to feel that old yearning. Then I knew that spark of love was still burning. There'll be no new romance for me. It's foolish to start for that old.
They used to roll back in the day. It was the stunning singer behind the microphone, and then everybody got a piece of the pie. Okay. On the bass, here's Johnny
Jones.
Yeah.
You know, that was important to me with this album. I really did want to share it with everybody, and I wanted, you know, the bass, the drum. I wanted the drummer to have a solo. I wanted everybody to have a chance to shine instead of it. And it keeps it interesting to change it up like that.
Oh, without a doubt. And look, that's the bottom line anyway. If you are generous in sharing that stage, the music just comes alive for the audience because that's the whole sense of fun that everybody has, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And, you know, and the guys behind you, I mean, you're not there without them. And people sometimes just look at the front person and they're like, oh, wow, it was so amazing. And they just picture them. But it takes the whole group. And some of those people, whether, you know, the audience realizes it or not, are just the most phenomenal and maybe more phenomenal than the front person, honestly. Most of the time, you know,
well,
they don't get the credit. They don't get the credit.
Yeah, they really don't. You're right. And I have to quickly pull back. And when I introduce people, sometimes you have to give credit where credit is due. And now there just seems to be a renewed team effort with people. And people really do want to be a lot more generous than they have been in saying, you know, this couldn't have been done without the efforts of my team members. The team is what it's all about. The ensemble is what it is because no one person can get it done by themselves. You're right.
Yeah.
Absolutely right. Kristen, I think that it's marvelous that you're here today, and I didn't know that it was going to be your first time at Andy Musique on Thursday. That's awesome. Good for you.
Yeah, I'm excited.
And so what are show times?
It's 8 p.m. It's this Thursday night, June 6th at 8 p.m., just one show.
Just one show, okay. And
mm-hmm.
I'm going to give folks the website because I want to make sure. It's not one of those titles of a venue that you're going to get simply. It's AndieMusique.com, AndieMusiqueLive.com, and that will give you the definitive source for getting tickets. So there.
Yay!
Well, I'm tickled that you had the time to stop by, and of course, you know, I wish you every good thing in the world. That's awesome.
Thank you. I really appreciate you having me.
Sure. One Magic Day. Is it out now or is it coming out? Let's get that straight.
Okay, so at the show, I will have the physical CDs available, but online, it'll be available by July 1st at cdbaby.com.
Great. That's good to know. All right, good. And I'll keep folks surprised on my Facebook page so that they'll know because I will invariably get inquiries.
Okay, very great.
I'm glad you clarified. Kristen, thank you so much. And who knows, if things look good in the next couple of days, I might see you there on Thursday.
Oh, that'd be great.
All right, cool. Get to meet you finally. Yay.
Yeah, you too.
All right, Kristen, thanks so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
See you soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Kristen Callahan, it's going to be a good show. If you enjoyed that music, holy cow, can you imagine that live? There have been many reports that I have heard now from the time that I have known her name. People have said that when they've come to a concert to see her, it's one of those situations, and how many times do you find this, where you can hear a pin drop because people want to pay attention to every note that she hangs on. That's pretty awesome. Kristen Callahan right there. And we're going to do something special on Thursday for a couple of different reasons. And I'll tell you what one of them is after this song. But I want to play something right now for you. Let me see if I can do this with two hands. Hold on. Yeah, I had to do it with two hands. We're going to actually have a medley for my beloved BJ White, who is going to be rejoining the workforce. So Thursday will be her last time with us. We're going to do a medley on Thursday, but I thought we'd start early for a couple of different reasons. First reason is that it's awesome that the Potomac Jazz and Seafood Festival have sold so many tickets for the event starring East Bay Soul on July 13th. That's great. And, of course, the head of East Bay Soul is Greg Adams. But Greg, in conjunction with the song that you're about to hear, is pretty cool because I just heard as of today that Sting has a new album coming out in the fall. So let's celebrate a few different ways, shall we? Let's do Greg Adams on trumpet doing If I Ever Lose My Faith in You on Hybrid Jazz for Beach. If I Ever Lose My Faith in You, from Cool to the Touch. We'll see you on Thursday with yet another guitarist. Ronnie Smith will be with us. Yay! Just such great music. I'm telling you what. Maybe some surprises, too, on Thursday. Thank you so much for joining us on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. We'll see you. God bless you. Thanks to our chat roomers.